with strings attached. First movement, Fabulosity. Chapter 1, Quaver. Up, Paul! Get the fuck up! Hands gripped Paul's shoulders and roughly jiggled his body.
What's the matter? Paul mumbled, struggling to open his eyes. Ow!
Bright light smacked him in the face, and everything sizzled out of focus. Heart thumping wildly, he sat up in bed, rubbed his eyes to clean away the crusty things, then blinked, getting used to the light. A figure before him sharpened, and Paul gaped at it in bleary disbelief. John Lennon knelt over him, staring down through granny glasses. "About fucking time," he muttered, wiping the back of his hand across his brow. Very young he looked in a beetle haircut, white t-shirt, and blue jeans.
"Jesus Christ, what are you doing here?" Paul blurted.
Then he caught himself and said apologetically, "Sorry, mate, that kind of came out wrong. Just wasn't expecting..."
"Where the fuck are we, Paul?" John interrupted,
voice high-pitched and rapid. His pale, narrow face was framed by sunlit chestnut hair that played around his forehead in the breeze.
"Huh?"
Still a little fogged by sleep, Paul struggled to make sense of everything.
"Are you...
sunlight?
Breeze? Sky? Clouds? Gah!"
Paul shot bolt upright and twisted wildly around.
"How'd I get outside?"
He and John sat in the grass at the edge of a birch forest, overlooking a meadow dotted with purple and yellow wildflowers. About 50 yards ahead of them, the grass thinned into a ribbon of white beach fronting an ocean or large lake. To Paul's right, the trees gradually marched almost up to the beach. To his left, they angled back as if retreating from the encroaching meadow. He tried to peer into the forest to see how far back it went. Farther than he could see, anyway. The air smelled of salt, with hints of flowers and rotting vegetation, and seagulls wheeled and cried in the distance. The morning moon, a crescent sinking into the water like a giant hook poised to catch Leviathan, dominated that part of the rich blue sky. It was quite a pleasant place, really, ideal for a family picnic or a romp with a big dog. But Paul had no business being there. Nor should he have been dressed, but he was, in clothes identical to John's, t-shirt, jeans, and white socks and sneakers. His wedding band was gone, and so was John's, he now saw. Also, his hair felt wrong, too short. Running his hands through it, Paul guessed that someone had given him a beetle cut. With a final incredulous glance around, he confronted John, who was even paler than before.
"What the hell is going on?"
"Oh, nothing much," John said lightly. "Just we seem to have been kidnapped and put in this bloody field in the middle of nowhere." Suddenly he grabbed Paul's shoulders again.
"Tell me where we are! Please tell me you know where we are! Are we in England?"
Without waiting for an answer, he pushed away from Paul, put his head in his hands, and rocked back and forth, moaning softly,
"Oh God, this ain't real! Don't let this be real!"
"Oh, Jesus!" For a moment, Paul was so scared that his brain seemed to vanish, but then it came back with a vengeance. His baby face set into uncharacteristically hard lines.
"You son of a bitch! How dare you kidnap me like this?"
John looked up.
"Eh? This was one of Yoko's little instructions, right? Don't you have better sense than to do every daft thing she says?"
Paul grabbed John's hand.
"You take me home right bloody now, or I'll hit you with the biggest lawsuit you ever saw."
John jerked his hand back and scrambled to his feet.
"I don't believe this. I do not fucking believe this. You think I did this?"
Paul got up slowly, fiercely.
"I knew you were mad, but this just tops it all. What are you trying to pull with this stunt? Some kind of happening? Or is this like that rape movie you did once? If you're filming this..."
He peered into the forest, looking for a hidden camera crew, and something caught his eye. He walked to a bush about 10 feet away, knelt, moved some leaves aside, and dragged out a pair of acoustic guitars, one left-handed, one right-handed, hidden within. The glare he turned on John was positively murderous.
"Is this your way of telling me you want to get back together? Couldn't you have just asked, or was that too boring for you?"
John was visibly startled by the guitars. The color that anger had put in his cheeks drained away. He took a deep, shuddering breath. "Paul, think for a minute. Think. How could I have put you here? How could I?
What do you think I did, drug you in your bed?
Please!
He was near tears. We've got to go after the real assholes, not each other. We're both pawns in this fucking game.
Bravo.
Paul slapped one of the guitars lightly against his thigh by way of applause. You always were a good actor. Here. He tossed first one, then the other guitar in John's direction. They went thunk-twang as they hit the ground. If you'd asked like a normal fella, I might have said yes. Thereupon, Paul turned his back on John and walked slowly along the edge of the forest, still looking for the camera crew, who were no doubt sniggering over their wonderful trick. Well, let's see how loud they laugh after I've got home. God, Linda must be worried sick. Unless she'd cooperate with John in this mad venture. But that didn't bear thinking about. After about 5 minutes of finding nothing, Paul thought, well, either they're so far back in there that I can't see them from here, or I've guessed wrong and they've set up in the meadow or on the beach somewhere. John knows. And he glanced angrily back at his ex-partner, who hadn't moved a muscle except to watch Paul. But Paul wasn't ready to ask John anything yet. He felt like he'd win a point if he found the camera crew on his own. They must be on the beach, he decided, and he tramped through the grass down to the sand, hoping to catch a glimpse of something. A stray microphone, a belatedly ducking head, the gleam of sunlight off chrome. He also wanted to get a sense of the lay of the land. If he could figure out where they were, or at least find a building, he might be able to walk out of this insanity entirely, call a cab or the police or something. But he didn't see a building or a camera crew on the flat white sands as he stood atop the small eroded rise that separated meadow from beach. In fact, the stretch of beach was pristine. The sand was strewn with shells, driftwood, and seaweed, but no trash or footprints, no tire tracks, nothing. Not even so much as an airplane contrail marred the solitude of that beach. I must be on something John owns. And black thoughts drifted through Paul's head, for John would certainly have disabled any phones nearby. He turned to fix the distant John, who wasn't so distant anymore, having started toward Paul, with another vicious glare, but his gaze went upward instead, traveling to the top of a dome-like structure that was visible just over the trees to his right. Aha, he thought triumphantly, which turned into a disgruntled damn when he realized he was just looking at the top of the full moon. The full moon? Over the forest? Paul whirled around to face the ocean. If he'd been drinking water, he would have spit it out. He froze so violently he almost fell over. He whimpered. Oh, for fuck's sake, what's the matter now? John said behind him. Did something finally butter that thick loaf of yours? Paul pointed a shaking hand at the moon over the water. What, the moon? I always knew you were a lunatic, but... Unable to turn around, Paul pointed another shaking hand behind and to his left at the trees. So the baffled John turned to look. Jesus fucking Christ! He screamed, and he leaped backwards, knocking himself and Paul down the rise. He landed on his rear in the sand. Paul sprawled, faced forward. Jolted out of his trance, Paul scrambled to his knees and clutched at John, the last familiar thing in the universe. Where in hell are we? I don't know! Oh, God, I don't know! John cried, hugging Paul tight. Then all words were swept away in a tornado of screaming.